and everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101 with host Susan Bartlestone. We're so happy you've joined us. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that'll help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's the host of Crime Prevention 101, Susan Bartlestone.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for being here with me tonight. You know, back in May, a 90-year-old man testified before the U.S. Senate Special Committee on Aging, their hearings on elder abuse. He told how his stepson had withheld food and medicine from him and his wife, interfered with their finances, yelled, threatened, bullied them to the point where they were effectively prisoners in their own home, trapped, scared, and frustrated. But what was so striking for me is that the man testifying was veteran actor Mickey Rooney, one of Hollywood's top stars back in the 40s and 50s and still well-respected today. But unfortunately, Mickey Rooney isn't alone. The American Psychological Association estimates that millions of older Americans are victims of this kind of abuse and neglect every single year. And many, many, many of them are mentally impaired and unable to speak up for themselves like Mickey Rooney did. And this subject hits particularly home for me since I just had to put my elderly mother into an Alzheimer's facility, really just a couple of months ago. And this was a decision, believe me, that my family and I agonized over for a long time, and one that still haunts and scares me. So since June 17th is World Elder Abuse Day, I've invited the National Center on Elder Abuse to come on the show and talk about this crime against humanity and what we can do about it, because we can. There are things we can do. June is also National Internet Safety Month, so I've invited a frequent Crime Prevention 101 guest, Identity Theft Prevention Specialist Paige Peterson, who's now actually Paige Hansen, from the LifeLock Company, and we're going to talk about the huge Sony PlayStation hack and give you some general internet safety tips. I've got a couple of really neat personal safety products to start you off, to tell you with, and to start us off, I'm speaking with one of my favorite guests, former California sex crimes prosecutor and TV commentator Robin Sachs, who's now involved in a child abuse case in Florida where everyone seems to have dropped the ball. Well, this is Susan Bartlestone, and you're listening to Crime Prevention 101, coming to you live from the scene of the crime, the sizzling New York City, where the weather is heating up, but everyone is always cool, cool, cool. So now let's meet Robin and talk about this case. And as I mentioned before, she's a former deputy district attorney. She's prosecuted some of the most despicable defendants in L.A. County. She's a national expert in child abuse and author of several books and a regular TV commentator. Robin, welcome back.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, now you sent me an email about this case. And this is I just had to have you on when I heard about it. It takes place in Naples, Florida. Why don't you talk a little bit about the case and what's involved?
What's involved is a case of a 9-year-old girl whom I'll refer to as Jane Doe, who did what every parent could only hope that their child would do if they were faced with an assault or a potential assault, and that is she went home and she told her parents, she told her dad that something bad happened at school, and that her teacher had put his hand on her chest, describing her breast area. It was interesting in the way he describes the story, as she described to him, is that it wasn't even as though she even recognized that breasts in any way would be any sexual part of her body or that there was any sexual intent whatsoever. She just felt uncomfortable. This happened in class, and she told, and the parents did what you would hope that any parent would do, and that is they went to the school the next day, and they, you know, said what's going on, and they told the principal of the school, and the head human resources person from the school and principal said, oh, my goodness, we knew we shouldn't let Mr. Noyes, who's his name, hug the students. And they immediately were concerned about their own behavior and seemed to be responsive only to not complete or seem to have completed a proper investigation and allowed him to continue to work despite being on administrative leave. He still was doing report cards and still communicating with students. So he was what we found to be what we thought was support from the school turned out to be kind of a covert cover-up for him, and they let him back into the school to teach without and decided to kick out the child, the fourth grader, as the reward for disclosing. And what we found out in the course of our investigation was that there was an accreditation process that was going on throughout, and so we were wondering, or we can't help to wonder, how much that accreditation process has affected this decision.
Yeah, that was amazing to me. They kicked the little girl out. What was the reason that they gave, that she was a troublemaker? Or?
No, they didn't even give a reason. It was actually crazy. All they said to the parents were, so where are you going to send Jane Doe to school? And the parents were like, wait, are you kicking us out? And they're like, yeah, that's what we're doing. So it wasn't like they didn't even formally kick her out. They didn't formally dismiss her. As a matter of fact, if you were to talk to the school now, they probably will tell you that they didn't kick her out at all. But in fact, they did.
And she's going to a different school now. So
she is.
So she did. And I understand in the email that you sent me that this was a pretty typical case of a pedophile. He was grooming her. She thought of him as his best friend. I mean, this is pretty typical behavior here. Identifiable.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the number one, you know, weapon of choice with pedophiles is to utilize their personalities and their manipulation, and they begin by grooming, which is to, you know, utilize their charisma and personalities to gain the trust and entrance, not only to just the children, but they spend time, and in this case is no different, grooming the parents. They spend time to make sure that the parents are trusting of them and and therefore are able to gain access to the kids, and they become the beloved teacher. And like what happens, and happens in this case, is then they create a scenario where no one could possibly believe that that teacher could have done it or that person could have done it.
And, yep, that's very typical, and it's just unbelievable of the school, considering everything that, you know, has gone on before this, doesn't realize what a problem they're, you know, they could be having for themselves. It's amazing to me to keep them around.
No, and that's the thing is the thing that's unbelievable is, okay, let's say that they did decide that there wasn't substantiated sexual abuse, and that happened, and let's say that there was a question as to whether this happened. The fact that even still under those circumstances, that they would not offer to this child to go to the other fourth grade class or do something to, you know, let us show you what investigation we did so we can, you know, have a very transparent environment. It smells and feels like cover up all over the place. And if that's not what happened, then all we've ever asked is what is and what is going on, and let's cooperate with the process so we can make sure that the best interests of the children are maintained.
So what is it that you're trying to get from the lawsuit?
Well, it's interesting. We did not want to file a lawsuit, and I say we, particularly the parents, did not want to file a lawsuit. We sent letters. All we asked for and wanted, I called personally. All we wanted to do was see copies of the investigation that they conducted. We wanted to make sure that they interviewed and how they did what they made their determination on. We wanted to understand what happened, and we wanted, you know, one of the things as a sex crimes prosecutor, in every case, it's pretty standard when there's a school case to bring together the community or to send out a letter or do something so that parents can then probe their kids to see, you know, if there was any sort of other abuse that potentially has happened to other victims that may be present in the school. And we were curious why the school didn't do that. So because the school didn't call and bring attention to it, we decided we had to. And in order to see if there are other victims or if there's other issues that are coming forward, we want people to feel safe to be able to disclose.
Has anyone come forward, or was she the only one so far?
You know, we've gotten actually interesting emails. I personally received an email from someone saying, I'm not a victim, but I know there are others out there. Thank you for doing what you're doing. So you can only feel that that was the right decision when that happened.
Absolutely. All right. Terrific. Good work, Robin.
Thank you.
You wrote a book about Liebert Several. The last one, that happens every day, I think, was the name of it?
That's right.
And this is on child abuse and things that you can recognize as these kind of symptoms and things?
That's right. I mean, what I talk about is, and it happens every day, and also in my companion book, Predators and Child Molesters, I really go through the realities of sexual abuse and how, you know, what the numbers and statistics are and what to do if, you know, your kid discloses. And the lesson that I teach is that, you know, we really owe it to our children to believe them. That should be our default. Not that all kids are honest and not that kids don't lie, but in order, you know, the numbers and statistics suggest that the number of kids that lie about being sexually abused, if they are lying, is really about denying and blaming and minimizing a very small amount are totally making it out of the clear blue mm-hmm. sky. And we need to recognize that, and with that, with the prevalence, that we have to be a proactive parent and community.
I think you should send a copy of your book to the Naples school down there.
I'm sure they don't want to see anything with my name on it right now. But
probably not, but I think they ought to read it before this goes too much further.
I agree.
Well, there's a couple of other cases that you're involved in. We've got just a few minutes, and there's a couple of particularly hot cases going on in New York. And if we run out of time, maybe you'll come back and talk about some of them. But there's a really case that intrigues me about his name is Dominique Strauss-Kline. He was a big, he's Frenchman. He was from the International Monetary Fund. He's had a very powerful man. And he was accused of groping a maid at the hotel that he was at. And then somebody else, I think he was Egyptian or something, another maid was groped. This was at the Pierre Hotel. We got it real quick. Any quick take on it? Just a minute or so. We should really talk about it.
My quick take is kudos to the New York Police Department who believed this. Anybody who, you know, this is someone who is a habitual abuser, and I'm not surprised to see this abuse. And there's many narcissistic people who think that they can get away with it. And I'm so proud of these women to come forward so that we can get to the bottom of it.
And they are, you know, there's rumors, I don't know if this is true, that Dominique Strauss-Kline's people have gone to her village, she's from West Africa, to try and reach her family members to offer them money to get her to drop this amnesia through money, I've heard it referred to drop her lawsuits. So we should follow up on that, and I know you're involved, you told me, with the this Long Island murder thing. They're finding all these bodies at the end of the tip of Long Island. So maybe you'll come back with me?
I would love to. I'd be honored to discuss it all and hammer it out with you.
All right. That's terrific. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. Keep me up to date on progress with the case. Let me know what's going on. For more information about what Robin is doing, and please sign up for her newsletter. It's very, very interesting. Go to robinsax.com. If you'd like more information about child abuse or want to anonymously report a case of abuse, check out the National Child Abuse Helpline, and it's childhelp.org, or you can call them 1-800-4-A-CHILD. All right, coming up next, Sony Corporation recently admitted hackers had obtained personal data and credit card information for tens of millions of people registered for their PlayStation network. We're going to talk about protecting yourself online when we come back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101. And I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. And you parents of college students, ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program with custom-tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on 7th Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio. Because shift happens.
Violence, theft, drugs, graffiti, it's all part of joining a gang. In times like these, we need to protect our kids and our community from gangs. Gangs often prey on teens with low self-esteem who perform poorly in school and who seek a sense of belonging. Protect kids from gangs. Know who they're hanging out with. Encourage them to become involved in school activities. Give kids a positive alternative to gangs. To learn more, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Hello there. Susan Bartlestone here. This is Crime Prevention 101, the radio show with an optimistic perspective on a sober subject. Please start tweeting about us. Send out that tweet right now. Let people know we're here. And you know what? You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook. Come and join the movement. Now, it's National Internet Safety Month. Perfect time to talk about the Sony fiasco. And I've got another regular guest with me, Paige Peterson, who I understand is now Paige Hansen. She just got married, and we're going to congratulate her on air. And she is an identity theft prevention specialist with the well-known LifeLock identity theft company. She's their manager of educational programs. And we're going to speak about this shocking to me anyway, a Sony PlayStation hack. So Paige, welcome.
Hi, Susan. Very nice to be here tonight.
And congratulations. You just
got married. Thank you. 1 month, still going very good.
Oh, wow. The honeymoon's still on. That's terrific.
I know.
All right. Let's talk a little about this Sony situation. This was a shock. And for those people who don't know what happened, please explain what's going on with this.
Well, in about mid-April, Sony released that they had someone hack their database. So the database that held credit card information, your name, date of birth, and potentially your mother's maiden name were all compromised. They haven't released whether or not the credit card numbers were stolen, but it's highly likely that they were. So Here you have 100 million customers, you know, the Sony PlayStation Network that were compromised. And really, the possibilities are endless when it comes to identity theft and when these thieves are actually going to act on this big data that they just came across.
100 million. That is unbelievable.
Well, I mean, think about, I mean, I don't want to say that it's all men, but I mean, there's a lot, you know, all these people signed up for PlayStation, you know, playing their games daily, you know, buying the new games, updating, and all everything you can do. It's wireless. You have all these different things you can do with the Sony PlayStation now, and the fact that it was compromised and that even stopped, you couldn't even log on for a certain amount of time, made a huge impact in itself, and then started with this awareness about identity theft and potentially what could happen to them.
Yeah, this has been a big wake-up call. I think that this has been called the largest internet security breach in history. And I think that they had one a while ago. I think I read somewhere that this is not even the first one that they've had.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. When you are protecting data, and especially in the hundreds of millions of customer information, you have, you know, thousands of people then trying to penetrate your system and potentially hacking into your system, which these people were very successful. So just the information that they're going to get, it just because you get, you know, maybe your credit card information may have been compromised, easy switch. You know, you can stop your credit card and issue a new one and in a different number. But when it comes to your full name, your mother's maiden name, your date of birth, those are things you can't change. And those are things, actually very important things, that identity thieves need in order to open up new lines of credit.
That is correct. People, don't forget, we're not just talking about charging money on your credit card. They can assume your identity, and you might never even be aware of it, at least for quite a while. So this is something that you've got, any Sony PlayStation user, and this their music thing too. I'm not sure how you pronounce this. Creo City was also broken into, and this is really devastating. This could have just enormous consequences.
You know, it really can, especially since what if the user was registered in the child's name? Let's say it was a child and they registered everything in their name. I mean, they're not checking their credit more than likely until they get a job, you know, 16, 17, 18. So it could potentially be, you know, 7 to 10 years later, they're finding out that someone stole their identity or opened up new lines of credit and they weren't paying on it. So it's could be potentially for the children that were compromised, you know, very potentially bad for them.
Yeah, this is really scary. And, you know, Paige, I saw an article, too. It was in the Daily News, which is a paper that we have, big paper in New York. And they were quoting a letter by the head of the Sony computer company that they're not even sure this wouldn't happen again because there's no system that's absolutely foolproof. So if I were a Sony user, or if I were, you know, any kind of user, what are some things that I might be able to do? Let's assume I might be one of those people that got hacked. What do you recommend people do now?
Well, the first thing I recommend is get your annual credit report. That is free for you. So you go to annualcreditreport.com. You get your annual credit report. Make sure that nobody has opened up any new lines of credit in your name. And then you need to start kind of making a mental note where you're giving out your personal information, because this is just probably one of the places these people have given out their personal information. Every place you give your information could potentially be compromised. Again, especially since Sony is so large and they're trying to keep track of so many people's information. So if I was someone, I would sign up. They did offer 12 months of service for an identity theft protection. So everybody who is a Sony user got that email. And so I would sign up for that, because they're offering it. It's at their cost. It's free for you. So it's something that I would definitely start with.
Oh, absolutely, because these services, and especially in a LifeLock, I'm a member, and they will monitor for you. They are quite vigilant.
Absolutely. And, you know, they have certain guarantees in place and resolution services in place. So if you do have something that happens, they're the ones, you know, that can take care of it, versus you spending the, on average, 30 hours trying to get it off your credit report or close the accounts.
That's right. Let them do the work.
That's right. Why, we have things to do.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. All right. So, Sony subscribers, and if you have any questions on this, you can also email LifeLock. I'm sure you've gotten plenty of emails about it as well.
Yeah, we certainly have. It was we're still getting some, but for a bit of time there, it was the hot question, as everybody wanted to know, because they were LifeLock members and they wanted to know what that meant for them. So, just reassure them that we're still watching your information, using our extensive networks to kind of detect the early application phase fraud that somebody might be doing with your personal information. So it's kind of nice to know that they're thinking of, because sometimes people sign up for a service and they kind of forget about it. So it's kind of nice to hear people are actually thinking of it and being somewhat proactive in the sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And nowadays everyone should get some kind of online protection. So that leads us to my next topic, where it's National Internet Safety Month. Any general ideas, suggestions about how to shop or bank or use social media?
Well, when it comes to shopping or banking, you just need to make sure that you're on a secure, password-protected internet connection. So if I were to go to any free Wi-Fi spot, that's not password-protected. It's not secure because you didn't have to type in a password. Or generally, if you do type in a password, it's the same password everyone else has. And now there's technology that's becoming more and more popular that will actually, someone could be sitting right next to you in that coffee shop and be looking at everything you're doing because they're on the same network and they have installed this software on there that they can read everybody else's information on their computer. So it's pretty scary. So that's why I say stick to the password-protected internet. I know that when I'm at work or if I'm at home, I physically typed a password at one time, and now my computer reaches that and sees it. So that's one thing you can do. The next thing is to keep your antivirus and your virus protection software up to date, because just that one week you may have slipped up and didn't renew it right away. I mean, you could potentially be letting these bad guys in.
Hi, Paige. I'm sorry. You know, it's this wonderful technology. I just got dropped.
Somebody,
I know you were giving great suggestions.
Well, one of the things I was saying is that you need to make sure that you keep your antivirus, and things like that up, because there's one in particular we like is the Norton 360 by Symantec. And they offer one big package that, does the spyware, the viruses. They protect you from identity theft and hackers all in one product. So, yes, there are great products out there, but that's definitely one that we know includes the total package at a pretty reasonable price.
I have to tell you real quick a funny story. They're evidently white hat hackers and black hat hackers. Are you familiar with this term?
I'm not, but I'd love to hear more about it.
Okay. I got an email from someone who called himself a white hat hacker to tell me that he found some flaws in something in one of my sites. And he said, he told me what I needed to do. And he said, I'm one of the good guys. He said, the black hats, are looking for this kind of thing. And he didn't ask me for any money or anything like that. And I thought that was so interesting that he was just sort of went around testing people's sites. So of course I immediately checked into this, and what he was saying was very valid. I was a little bit lax in updating my software and things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that I'm right on top of it now. But here was this wonderful white hat hacker there, sort of prowling around helping people.
Wow, you are. That's incredible, actually, because,
yeah.
In our line of, we always hear of these stories where, of course, then they would, take over your site or take over
that's
a different
right.
site. And so, that's
thank
amazing.
The good guys. Well, Paige, it was great having you back again. You always give terrific information. You can get more information if you have any other questions. If you're a Sony PlayStation user, be sure to check out lifelock.org. Paige, I know you'll be back with me again soon. We've got plenty to talk about. All right. Estimates are that millions of older Americans are victims of psychological, physical, sexual, financial, or other forms of abuse and neglect. shocking and heartbreaking. Find out what we can do about this, you and I, when we come back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yay!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
You're walking alone. A group of people is hanging out just ahead. Suddenly, they surround you.
Hey, yo, where you going? Come here.
Before you know it, you're being robbed. It's called a pack robbery, a robbery involving a group of assailants, and it can be violent. In times like these, trust your instincts. Don't become their next victim. Avoid suspicious groups. Avoid desolate or poorly lighted areas. Be aware of your surroundings. To learn more about pack robberies, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Yes, this is Crime Prevention 101, and this is Susan Bartlestone. And don't forget that we are available to you on iTunes. Please take us with you wherever you go. You never have to be without us. And don't forget, I post the links to all my guests from each and every show on my blog, crimeprevention101.com. So if you'd like more information about a show topic, you can find it right there. Now let's meet Sharon Merriman Nay. I think I have to make sure I got that right. Director of Public Awareness Activities for the National Center on Elder Abuse. Hi, Sharon. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on. How are you?
I'm good. Now, did I pronounce your name right, Merriman Nay?
It's Nye.
Nye, Merriman Nye. Okay. Well, Sharon, I have to tell you, this is a subject that is very close to me because recently, a couple of months ago, I had to put my mom into an assisted living facility for Alzheimer's patients. And, you know, we just agonized so much. And believe me, the question of elder abuse is very, very much on my mind. So could you just give us a little background? What exactly constitutes elder abuse?
Well, when we talk about elder abuse, we're talking about a number of different things that could go on. We may be talking about physical abuse. We might be talking about neglect or self-neglect, financial exploitation, and also, unfortunately, sexual abuse. And these things can happen in a community setting, you know, where individuals are still living in their own homes or with family members. It can happen in a nursing home or an assisted living facility as well. Mm-hmm. So it really does cover a number of different kinds of things that can happen. And unfortunately, In many instances, it's happening at the hands of people who are known and trusted by the older individual.
I was just talking at the top of the show. Someone sent me something about Mickey Rooney, the actor, mm-hmm. being a victim and testifying at before the special committee on elder abuse. It's just shocking to me.
It really is. Mickey Rooney, as we all know, he was a very famous person. He still is a very famous
yep.
person. And he yep. actually grew up in the eyes of many of our older individuals today. And I think because of that, what happened to Mr. Rooney is that he was allegedly financially exploited and also neglected and emotionally, I think, abused. And he went before Congress and talked about these things. And it really empowered a lot of older people and a lot of family members to come forward, because one of the greatest problems with elder abuse is that it is very, very much in the shadows.
What is your estimate? How big are, you know, how many people? I think I've heard millions, but I...
Mm-hmm. We do estimate that somewhere between 750,000 to 3.5 million individuals in the United States alone have mm-hmm. been victimized in some way. And there are many experts who think that that's an underreporting, because traditionally very few individuals come forward to report. At one point we thought maybe one in every six individual cases were reported, but there was a recent study in New York State that suggests it may be far fewer cases that ever come to light.
Really? So that it might even be more than 3.5 million?
Yes. And it's important to remember, too, that folks can be abused in more than one way at the same time. For instance, greed quite often drives financial exploitation, but in order to get to that, to being able to have access to an individual's money, there may be threats, there may be physical harm, there may be, the caregiver or other family member may neglect the older person's needs in order to get to their money. So, it's a very tangled sort of situation in many cases.
Yeah, and I know, like, for example, my mom, who has Alzheimer's, she's pretty delusional. And mm-hmm. she says things that we know are not true, and we wouldn't even be sure if she was telling us the truth if she said somebody was doing something to her, because she does say things. She mm-hmm. thinks people were after her, things like that. I think that's another part of the problem, that you really don't know what to believe from these people sometimes.
I think you're right, and, we do know that actually people with dementia are at very high risk for being mistreated. And what we always say is that, you want to listen to the person's story and check it out. But you also, in a case such as that, you want to look for other types of symptoms or evidence, or maybe even something like a change in that person's behavior, maybe an indicator that something's not right. And even if someone is delusional or has dementia, you still want to follow through and check it out. You want to go through and hear the stories. I was recently at a conference where people were talking about elder sexual abuse, and it's something that's so foreign, and that is a relatively rare type of elder mistreatment. But you do see that in those kinds of cases that sometimes people are not believed, and they should always be believed, and there should always be, a serious accounting of the story and a serious attempt to do an examination and find out what really happened. It's very challenging.
Yes, indeed, because, I'm really, we so agonized over this just because I was aware, we didn't want her away from us, but also I was aware of the potential, and it's just terrifying me. It really is. And I like to know exactly what I should look for. And talk a little bit also about the National Center on Elder Abuse and the resources that you provide for people like me, because I thought your site was really terrific.
Well, thank you. The National Center on Elder Abuse is a grant-funded program by the U.S. Administration on Aging, and we serve as a resource center for the professionals who work in very different roles that deal with elder abuse prevention and awareness, such as Adult Protective Services or Ombudsman or healthcare folks, people working in aging services and banking services and so on and so forth. But we also serve to provide information for the public, for individuals like yourself, for older people, and any concerned individual who wants to know more about the issue can come to our website and get a sense of the kinds of things that we're talking about when we talk about elder abuse and strategies for preventing and raising awareness. And I believe that raising awareness is the most important piece of this puzzle. But for someone like yourself, the fact that you are aware of the potential for mistreatment is very important. And that means that your eyes are open, your ears are open, you're going to be attentive to the needs of your mother, even though she's in a facility. That's really important. One of the things that we do know, and I keep saying one of the things that we do know, because really we do need a great deal more research on many aspects of elder abuse, including risk factors and including what strategies work and what interventions work. But one of the things that we have learned is that, as I mentioned before, folks with dementia are at increased risk. And the other thing is people who are isolated are at increased risk. And sometimes you can be isolated even though you're in a facility, because you may be cut off from, you know, the greater community, your family, friends, what have you. So it's very important for people to remain as engaged as long as they can be, for the family members or the concerned others to be able to come in and have an active voice and help to advocate for the needs of that older person, and to just keep their eyes and ears open and to be in good communication with the staff of the facility so that should there be changes, should you have a concern, you'll know that you want to go and talk about that. You'll know that you want to be aware of anything that might be happening in your mother's life.
Exactly. And you have some excellent tip sheets on the website about what to look for. And if someone suspects that someone is being abused, what should they do if they suspect that it's occurring? What should they do?
Well, I think if you suspect that it's occurring, if it's an individual, if it's not an emergency situation, you would want to call Adult Protective Services. You may want to ask the older person some questions before you do that, but certainly we encourage everyone to contact Adult Protective Services if they suspect mistreatment. But if that person is an emergency situation or someone's in immediate harm, contact the police, dial 911, whether they're in a facility or in the community or wherever.
Sharon, I think I saw, let me just back up a little bit now. We'll get to that. We'll talk about what to do if it's immediate. But I think I saw that there was a state-by-state listing of the Adult Protective Services agencies on your, is it on your website? Did I see it?
Yes. Unfortunately, elder abuse doesn't have a national hotline per se. Every state has its own system for dealing with these kinds of issues. And so we do have a listing. If you go to our website and you look at our state resource page, you can click on a state name, and that'll bring up the phone numbers for reporting mistreatment in that state, websites, and so on. Each state does deal with it differently. But if you're not able to use the Internet, we do have a phone number that can be used. It's the Elder Care Locator number. And this is also a service of the Administration on Aging, and they provide phone numbers not only for Adult Protective Services, but for other services that may be very helpful in allowing an older individual to have independence and to stay in the community and to help families to provide care. And that elder care locator number is 1-800-677-1116. It's not a hotline, but it is an information and referral line.
Okay, give it again. 1-800-677-1116. 1116, and that's the locator, elder care locator. And give out your website also.
It's on the World Wide Web, ncea.aoa.gov.
Okay, and I'm going to post a link to it on my blog, Crime Prevention 101. And one other important question, can you report suspected elder abuse anonymously?
Because I know a lot of times you don't want to be the one to turn in the family member who you think is abusing another family member, or, you know, you might be afraid to report abuses, you know, because the person could be dangerous if they know that you reported. Can it be done anonymously?
I believe that you can report anonymously in most states. However, the intake worker, when you call in, would always like to have contact information, and those reports are kept confidential. So even if you do provide your information, you can be sure that they will not be divulging who called.
Terrific.
When people are calling in, we do want to have as much information as possible about the specific situation, where the individual is, what's happening, how old that person might be, whether they have disabilities, what kind of a living environment, and so on and so forth.
All right, terrific, because I think that that is a lot that, it, you know, there are people that just don't want to start trouble in the family or could be afraid to report it, and I think it's good to know that they might have that option. And, Sharon, I don't want to forget what you said. If you see immediate abuse and someone's in danger, call the police.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Report it right away and don't wait.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, Sharon, for being with me. For more resources, I want you to check out and information, check out their website. It's ncea.aoa.gov. And I want you to stay right where you are. When we come back, I've got two personal safety products that I think you're going to love. We'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101. And I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. And you parents of college students, ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program with custom-tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
Every day, people are afraid to report violent crimes. In times like these, choosing to report a crime or helping the police can be a difficult decision. A no-snitching culture has sprung up in our communities, making it unpopular and sometimes even dangerous to report a crime. Do the right thing by calling 911 or your local crime tip line. If you're the victim of a crime, report it. If you know about a crime, report it. To learn more about how to do the right thing, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Yes, welcome back. You are listening to Crime Prevention 101. And like the announcer said, if you'd like me to focus on a particular topic here on the show, just email me at solutions@fightsafe.com or post a comment on my Facebook page. You could tweet me, and you might even end up being a guest on the show. We've done it before. Before Sharon left me, our last segment, she said to remind everyone that June 15th, is World Elder Abuse Day, and you can get more information on that from www.inpea.net, World Elder Abuse Day. Please make sure you check it out. All right, now I've got a couple of personal safety products for you I like to talk about. I think these are pretty good, and in light of what we were talking about, first one is called LoJack for Laptops, and it's from the Absolute Software Company. We were talking about internet safety. A lot of laptops get stolen, evidently, according to the Absolute Software Company. And this LoJack, it's a kind of a software that you buy, it's like a burglar alarm account. You know, you open an account with them, and they are monitoring it like a LoJack for your car. And it allows you to remotely locate your laptop anywhere, lock it, and you can immediately delete any files that you particularly don't want people to see. So if you've got the bank account information or social security numbers or passwords on your laptop, you can actually delete those files right away. And the Absolute Software people quote stats on their website: every 50 seconds, that's just about every minute, somebody's laptop is stolen. I had no idea. They also have a theft recovery team, which is composed of former law enforcement professionals, and they can gather forensic information using this LoJack software and work with the police department to actually recover the stolen or lost computer for you. And to date, they say that they have recovered nearly 20,000 of these devices in more than 75 countries. Prices for the service start at $39.99 for a year. So that is pretty good. And it is www.absolute.com, LoJack for laptops. Then the other personal safety device I've got for you, it's called Let's Be Safe. Let's, and then the letter B, safe. It's a book by Brenda Zofria, Z-O-F-R-E-A, who's an educator and a child safety specialist. This book not only teaches personal safety, but it improves literacy. And what I really like is that they will provide free books for schools. They have partnered with the National Crime Prevention Council and the McGruff the Crime Dog Safety, the Safe Kids Total ID System. So if you present a McGruff ID program in your school, they will send you free copies of the Let's Be Safe book. And this book takes you step by step, tells you what law. We talked about pedophiles before in the opening part of the segment, that case in Florida, tells you 100% in rhyme with realistic information, the most common lines that the pedophiles use to groom children to set them up for sexual abuse. It's got a parent-teacher review guide, got a certificate. They have a little bee plush toy that reinforces the lessons. But they have provided over 7,000 books in Florida alone. I think they should send them to this Naples school district, mind you. But in any way, it's called Let's Be, the letter Be Safe, and it's letsbesafe.com. So check it out, especially if you are a school district and you'd like to get involved with this with you for your school and get some of those books for the school. I like that idea. They're for young children. It's All right. And I want you to remember last week the Door Devil with DoorDevil.com people. I mentioned them. They will give a free Door Devil. It's a really strong, secure lock for your door. If you are in a domestic violence situation, if you are in an abusive situation, they will send you a free one if you are a listener to this show. So just email me, solutions@fightsafe.com, and give me a little bit of an idea of your story, and I will forward it over to the Door Devil people, and we'll get you a nice, secure lock for your door. If you also, if you've been broken into and you're nervous about that kind of thing happening again. All right, well, you know what? We're coming down to the end. And I think we're going to do a wrap on it for tonight. So please don't forget, we'd love to hear from you. Post your comments and give me show suggestions. Talk to me. I love to hear from you on my blog, crimeprevention101.com. You can catch me on Facebook or Twitter. I'm looking for stories for the show, so maybe we can use you on the show. Don't forget to tell your friends about us. And don't forget that you and I will be doing this again next week, same time and same place. It'd be a crime not to listen. So stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. If you want to learn more about Susan's guests, sign up for her newsletter, or find out about upcoming teleseminars and workshops, go to www.crimeprevention101.com today. Have a great week and a safe week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.